You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
And I went to go see a friend of mine in Indianapolis who owned a restaurant up there. And when I went to go see him, he was looking at me, and he's like, "You don't look too good." And I said, "Well, I got this lump coming out of the side of my stomach."
Oh,
and he says to my friend, "Why don't you go, my partner, why don't you go get the cards? I'm going to bring Tony to the hospital and get him checked out." So as we were walking through the emergency room, I collapsed.
Oh, my word.
In the emergency
room. The timing.
And they threw me on a gurney, and they found out that my kidney stopped working, and my ureter exploded, and I started bleeding internally.
So they did emergency surgery?
They did emergency surgery, 18 hours, reconstruct the surgery, and I ended up with a urine bag.
Wow.
What happened?
You still have that now?
I still have my kidney.
Oh, you still have your kidney?
Yeah, but it took a month where my kidney started working again. I had to stay there.
Oh, so you don't have the bag now?
No.
Oh,
no.
So some people do.
But that was in 2005.
Yeah.
And I had to stay in the hospital in Indianapolis, and then I ended up living there for a year in Indianapolis.
How'd you pay for the hospital bills?
Well, I ended up, the state, because I was homeless, the state picked up my hospital bills. Indiana State and Wishart Hospital at that time picked up my bills, and they brought me back to health.
Now you're a taxpaying citizen working hard, and now you're paying back for that, right?
Yep, and I got addicted to all kinds of pain medication because they were giving me pain.
That's where OxyContin came in?
OxyContin came in, also the vodka and the Oxy was a great mixture for me. So here I am working in my friend's restaurant, high all the time as a waiter to make ends meet, living with his sister.
Well, I know somebody said, she said, I had to fight. She said, the moment I took the first OxyContin, I knew I was addicted. Now, she did not get addicted and follow through, but she knew she had to fight it. I have no idea how good that stuff feels. I've never had it, but they say that it's quite a high.
Yeah, it is quite a high.
Yeah, and so you were addicted.
Oh, yeah, then you top it with vodka. It's a great high.
Yeah, no.
You know, that's what I was doing.
But the high with Jesus is far better.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what
we're
happens
talk
next?
About
okay.
that.
Now,
so then I continue. My friend that was driving the truck passed away from pancreatic cancer. So his brother called me up and said, "Hey, why don't you come back to Florida and live with me? With my brother being gone, I'm lonely, and you're my best friend." So I met a girl in a bar one night drinking, and she was a truck driver. And I was dating her for a while, and she drove me back to Florida from Indiana. I left Indiana after a year. Actually, everybody didn't want me up there anymore. They wanted
Now, you married her?
No, I didn't marry her. Okay. They eventually threw me out of Indiana. They didn't want me up there anymore. They said, "Tony, you need to get out of here.
Indiana doesn't want me.
Yeah, that's
Florida,
right.
I can't go back there."
That's exactly what happened with me. They didn't want me there anymore, and I couldn't go back. So I ended up back down in Florida, and then I was living with my buddy, and it turns out that he was into smoking crack and selling Oxy. So I was back into the lion's den. Right back into the lion's den. So he ended up, I ended up selling and dealing and all this kind of stuff. And so this went on. And then when we get to 2007, and then I tried multiple times of suicide because of the darkness I was living in. And there were times that I did overdose and lived through the overdose.
Wow.
But in 2007, I had a brain aneurysm.
My word.
And I was standing in my friend's living room, and I felt a bomb go off inside my head.
Wow.
And the next thing I know, I was on a gurney in an ambulance getting rushed to the hospital, and they were yelling at me, "Could you hear me? Could you hear me?" And they said, "Something's going on," and I felt pain behind my eyeballs like somebody was taking knives and swords.
So you were bleeding in your brain.
Yeah, I didn't even know it.
It's amazing you lived.
So they brought me in and they did an emergency operation on me.
On your brain?
Yes, they operated on me and I went into—
Did they find anything?
What was left from all that stuff I was— No, you're right. I don't know what I had left up there. All the brain cells I was burning.
So they get in there and they save your life.
Well, actually, I went into a coma and was on life support. And I was in a coma for about a week.
Well, you know, people realize now, your body shuts down. That's why they used to bury people alive. Well, he's not breathing, can't hear anything. The body goes into just almost like a death place where it heals. And I remember one time I hurt my back. I slept for 42 hours straight. Got up, I was fine. Well, except to get up to you and go to bed.
Well, I was on life support, and they were looking for my family to come pull the plug.
That was it.
Yeah, they
so,
just felt
so
that.
So had the family been around,
no,
they may have
they
pulled, the plug.
Pulled the plug.
So, so you were 7 days in a coma.
Yep, and then I wake up, and I'm paralyzed from neck down and couldn't talk.
You're paralyzed?
Yeah, I was paralyzed from neck down and couldn't talk.
But yet you sit here as a normal man.
Yep. God taught me how to talk, walk and talk again.
You had to learn?
Yep, how to walk and talk again.
With therapists?
Yep. Yep. And God brought me back, and the gods, the doctors and the nurses said, nobody lives through the brain aneurysm that you had. You're a miracle.
God had another story for
yes,
you to
he
write.
Did. He kept saving my life. Whew. We're going to get to why that.
Let's. Yeah, because I want to get into that. We've done half of it with the negative. Let's get
right.
into the positive.
Let's get
here.
Into the positive. So
the man comes to know Jesus. By the way, you can read all about addiction saved by the grace of God by Anthony
Marakovitz.
Okay. So available in bookstores everywhere, available at Amazon.com. Addiction saved by the grace of God. Also available to come and speak at your church if you want. But do you have a website yet for this?
No, I don't have a website.
Maybe
it just came
world,
out in 2 weeks.
Do you have a Facebook site?
I got a Facebook
okay.
site.
And what's the name of it?
Addiction Saved by the Grace
Great.
Of God.
Great. Okay.
Yeah.
People can contact you through that. Okay.
The Anthony Marakovitz story is.
Yeah. Addiction Saved by the Grace of God. Okay. So let's get going here. Now, okay, what happens next?
So in 2012, I'm living with a guy. I left Joey's house. I couldn't live there no more. And I started going to a Catholic church. And while I was in this Catholic church, my landscaping boss was taking me there every morning to go to church. And I ended up...
I know a girl that used to be addicted to drugs. She's now been sober like 30 years. She said she used to go to the churches the mafia went to in New York City. And she sit behind them because the big mafiosa guys, they put multiple $100 bills in the pot, you know, out of guilt, and the guilt offering. And then she'd steal the $100 bills to go buy
great.
Drugs. Oh, my word.
Oh, my Lord. I've heard it all. That was one.
Yeah, yeah. She's a lovely person now.
Yeah, so I ended up...
healed by the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord is a healer. That's what this book is all about. Hope and how much God could heal you even when you're the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
But what happened was in 2012, I ended up living with a friend of mine, and I was going to that church for about 5 years, and... I ended up living with him, and one night I went into the bathroom to do my dirty, and I started throwing up blood.
Ooh.
And I went to the mirror to put water on my face, and I looked in the mirror, and I saw death. I saw a skeleton. I didn't see my face. I saw a skeleton. And
almost like a vision from above, you mean?
Yep. And I put those words into effect. God, please help me. I can't do this no more.
He's waiting for surrender.
Yep.
Happened to me on a couple of occasions.
Yep.
Finally, with your stupid male ego or your human ego, the pride of man.
The pride of
man. When you finally reach, by the way, I can't do this by myself. I've been here waiting for you.
Yeah.
So you say, God help me.
God help me.
What happens?
So then I ended up doing what I had to do, and I walk out of my bathroom at 5 o'clock in the morning. My friend that I was staying there with, who was very spiritual, said that the Holy Spirit woke him up and what's going on.
Really?
And I looked at him and I said, I'm sick when I'm using and I'm sick when I'm not using. I need help. And I just asked God to help me right now. I just add, God, please help me. And he said, why don't you go back to bed and I'll tell Greg you're not working today. So, of course, I stayed home and got high all day because that's what I do. And the next morning, I got in the car with my boss and my friend that I was living with. And I said, where are we going? Because we weren't going to get the truck and the trailer. And they said, well, we're going.
Intervention, I think.
Yes,
huh?
We went to go see somebody in a program, and you're going into a program. And they brought me to.
And you didn't fight it.
No, I did
not. You were so broken, you were just surrendered.
I was ready to go. I surrendered it all.
I know.
I surrendered in that bathroom when I said, God, please help me.
It's something. It's like a moment of clarity when you know that you know. It's like when I got born again. That's what I said to him. I wasn't getting bored again. I said, oh, Lord, I believe in you. Okay, I take a chance. I was into Eastern religions. I'm 29. I said, okay, I believe you died on the cross and rose from the dead. Nothing happens. So, but the hound of heaven must have been on me because I just go, okay, all right. Well, I said, I'm a fool to live without God. Okay, I believe you died on the cross for me. You rose from the dead, and I surrender the rest of my life to you. And the heavens opened up, and the joy of the Holy Spirit filled me up. And I said, this is what the black folks are talking about. I said, this is like joy. I thought happiness and joy were one and the same thing. No, this is joy, unspeakable joy.
Well, there, this is the first surrender. Wait until I tell you the second surrender. But yeah. What happened was I ended up into this program, which I'm going to say it's called Faith Farm Ministries.
Down the road here.
Yep.
And they make the things that they put the wooden things, right?
Well, they have thrift stores and everything.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
They used to make the pallets.
Oh, the pallets. Yeah, that's the one in Okeechobee. They still do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They put the men to work. You end up in Faith Farm Ministries
in Fort Lauderdale.
Now, what is that? What's that like? Because I had my mother went to a place like that and got healed and had over 40 years of sobriety.
Yeah, I went there. It was Pentecostal Christian, and I went there for 10 months.
Yeah.
And why
Pentecostal Christian? I mean, the Holy Spirit's welcome there.
Oh yeah, but what happened with me is I got there October 26, 2012.
Yeah.
I get through November and I get into December and I get there and I'm sober now, and it's still detoxing. Took me 5 months to detox. But December 24th showed up, and I got out of bed that morning, and a lot of people were gone because they went home to be with their families. They were allowed to for Christmas.
Yeah.
But I had nobody, and I started feeling the shame, the guilt, remorse for what I did. And
Isolation.
That day I was ready to throw the towel in.
Yeah.
I was ready to walk off the farm, grab a gallon of vodka,
and go. It's fellowship that saves us.
Right.
We all need fellowship. So God created us for fellowship.
Yep. Well, at that time, I was just ready to throw the towel in.
Yeah.
I was going to get a gallon of vodka across the street and go jump in front of the train.
And yet you're going to say, I just can't do it.
Right.
So what happens?
So as I'm walking off the farm, there was a van getting loaded up. And I ended up...
Tell that story. That's where the guy says, hey.
Yeah.
And he said, go on, tell that story.
Yeah, the guy was loading up a van with a bunch of upperclassmen, and he called me over, and he said, hey, where are you going? I said, I'm just taking a walk. He says, no, you're walking towards the gate. You're walking off the farm. I said, no, I'm taking a walk. He says, no, you're lying. He says, your name on this list? And I said, what list? He says, a list. And I said, for what? He goes, to go to Calvary Chapel. I go, what's that? He goes, it's a church. We're going for a Christmas service. I said, we got a church here. He says, no, we're going to Calvary. What's your name? So I give him my name. He goes, not on the list. I said, well, I guess I can't go. He goes, no, let me write it down. So he wrote it down, and he said, get on the bus, you're going. So I get on the bus with 25 guys. We go to Calvary Chapel.
Saved your life.
Yep, again, second time, God intervenes.
On your way to commit suicide, the guy says, get in the truck. We're going to Calvary Chapel.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And I end up at Calvary Chapel, and I get out of the van with a bunch of guys, and I see hundreds of people going into this church, not knowing it's a mega church.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.